In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus exhorts his followers to embrace standards of righteousness that exceed legal requirements and traditional expectations. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 5th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said to his disciples, "You have heard that it was said to those of ancient times, 'You shall not murder,' and 'Whoever murders shall be liable to judgment.' But I say to you that if you are angry with a brother or sister, you will be liable to judgment. And if you insult a brother or sister, you will be liable to council. And if you say, 'You fool,' you will be liable to the hell of fire. So when you are offering your gift at the altar, if you remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First, be reconciled to your brother or sister, and then come and offer your gift. Come to terms quickly with your accuser while you are on the way to court with him, or your accuser may hand you over to the judge, and the judge to the guard, and you will be thrown into prison. Truly, I tell you, you will never get out until you have paid the last penny. You have heard that it was said, 'You shall not commit adultery.' But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lust has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one of your members than for the whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one of your members than for your whole body to go into hell. It was also said, 'Whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce.' But I say to you that anyone who divorces his wife, except on the ground of unchastity, causes her to commit adultery. And whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Again, you have heard that it was said to those of ancient times, 'You shall not swear falsely, but carry out the vows you have made to the Lord.' But I say to you, do not swear at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by earth, for it is the footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great King. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. Let your word be yes, yes, or no, no. Anything more than this comes from the evil one." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
It's texts like these that, you know, when we conclude the gospel reading, the gospel of the Lord, I wonder how many of us inside kind of cringe a little bit and saying, "Praise to you, O Christ." And it's also ironic that it seems like when our parents come to visit that we get some of the most difficult texts to preach, but we'll make it through. But let us begin with prayer. Lord God, may the words of my mouth, the meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you. Amen. Grace and peace to you from God's love poured out, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. How do you see God? How do you see God? What images come to mind? For a lot of folks, God is seen as a loving parent, or a boss, or even a judge. Some see God in nature, while others see the face of God in other people. Many see God in an authoritative position, as a judge waiting to cast out punishment. And today's gospel lesson on the surface, I think, runs in line with that. But I'm going to invite us to take a little bit deeper look into this text. Now, the words Jesus uses here in talking about each of these commands, "You have heard it said," But I say to you, this is typical for debate of Jesus' time when you are discussing interpretations of the word. It's not a contradiction per se, but rather Jesus here is expanding and deepening the understanding of these laws. It's more than just a don't do this so you don't go to hell. If you remember last week in the sermon, I talked about the law being a gift. A gift, not this hard-nosed set of rules for us to follow, but a gift. And I see that in three ways. First, the law is a gift for us to get more out of life. Now think about when God gave the law to the Israelites. It wasn't, here are my rules, believe these and follow them, and you can be my children. No, God claimed them as God's children and gave them the gift of the law. It wasn't a means for them to be loved by God, to earn God's love, because God already loved them. Secondly, I see law as a gift to strengthen communities. Again, here we see that plural you, the all y'all. It's not, some of you listened last week, good. It's not just about me. It's not just about number one and my salvation. It's about creating and sustaining community in which God's children, can find nurture, where they can find health, safety, and where they can find blessing. Now, when we think of the rationale behind biblical focus of community, it's really quite simple. When you look out for yourself, it's you against the world. When you look out for yourself, it's you against the world. But when you look out for others in your community, they in turn look out for you. When you look out for others in your community, they in turn look out for you. Because it's the community together that faces the challenges. It's a community together that goes through setbacks. And it's a community together that takes on opportunities that the world offers. Thirdly, I see the law as a gift to orient us to the needs of our neighbors. The law, now, to be clear, isn't meant to remove the neighbor and his or her needs from our view or concern. It's not meant to do that. Rather, the law is meant to draw us to our neighbor more closely. That's why Jesus expands the law in today's reading, to help us avoid seeing the law merely as moral boundaries, instead altering us Instead, alerting us to our responsibilities to care for all those around us. It's far too easy to discriminate and injure, neglect, or even speak poorly of a neighbor and saying, I have kept the commandment because I have not murdered. So Jesus deepens the law to make us more responsible to our neighbor's well-being. And this responsibility I see coming forward particularly in verse 29 and 30, the tearing out of eye and cutting off of hand. This isn't a literal self-harming command from Jesus just to avoid hell. This is meant to emphasize the importance of the law, the seriousness of the law, so that we might choose life. Choose life over death. Now these are very different connotations of how we see and talk about God. Gift or mutilating judge. And by caring for our neighbor, we strengthen our communities to best serve and be a blessing to the world. This is God's constant command and expectation of God's people. So again, the law is gift. It's so that we might get more out of life. It's to strengthen community. And law helps orient us to the needs of our neighbors. God is also often likened to a parent. And as a parent, I don't want to be known or remembered as a hard-nosed dad that always says no and punishes for every little mistake. Now, we still give the boys rules, but we don't give them rules so that they can earn our love. We give them rules because we care about them. We give them rules so that their relationships with each other might be pure. We give them rules so that they might have great relationships with others they meet along the way. And I truly believe this is God's intention for us too. When Jesus says, "You have heard it said, but I say to you," Jesus is saying, in instances of murder, don't endanger or harm the lives of your neighbor. Help and support them in all of life's needs. Seek reconciliation in the broken relationships. For adultery, let your thoughts and actions be pure and honorable towards other people. Love and honor your spouse and significant other. In matters of divorce, don't take them lightly. Protect each other. Protect the relationship. And in matters of oaths or truth-telling, be completely honest in all of life. Yes means yes. No means no. These are high expectations of God has for God's children, for all of us. But it's not for salvation. It's because God loves us. That is the law. God's gift to protect and care for God's children. Now, I know we all feel the crunch, the negative impact, and the threat of the law. I'm not immune to that, and I don't suspect any of you are. But Jesus is inviting us to trust that God cares deeply about you and all of God's children. It's as if God is there saying, "No, you cannot hoard everything. No, you cannot discriminate or exclude. No, you cannot violate and exploit, because she is my daughter. He is my son. They are my child." So I ask you again the question we began with. How do you see God? When Martin Luther was asked this question, he said, "When I think of God, I think of a man hanging on a tree. I think of a man hanging on a tree." In the cross of Christ, we see God's love poured out for the whole world, reminding us that God will go to any and all lengths to communicate just how much God loves us. Any and all lengths to communicate just how much God loves us. And in turn, we are able to love one another. Amen.